We're now ready to enter into the realm of the Word of God. And we're excited about this. And Father, I ask that you anoint the ears to hear, anoint the lips to speak, and Father, between the two, much can be accomplished, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I was excited about one thing that Kenny had made mention, that he was called to prayer for the Seahawks. I thought that was great. Praise God. We've been talking about changing your self-image. And literally, that's what it's referring to, self-image. I really was thinking about it, and change is not a good word. Literally, we need to annihilate our self-image, do away with it. Because when you're referring to self-image, you're talking about living in a completely different realm than what God intends for you to live. And when you're talking about, like, there's verses in the Bible that says, he that is spiritual. A lot of people don't understand what it means by that statement, he that is spiritual. Well, what he's talking about, he's referring to someone who has literally acclimated his life to living out of the realm of his spirit rather than out of the realm of his flesh. And the first work of the Holy Spirit is to see to it you're not living out of the realm of your flesh, but you actually obtain to living out of your inward being. Now, thank God for churches. Thank God for church. Thank God for those that are evangelizing. Thank God for the many offices and many calls in the body of Christ. But many of us never really attain to any spiritual victory in our life unless we choose to do so. But God does not cast off his loved ones just because they make a decision not to develop spiritually. If that's the case, not many of us would make it. Many of us will enter into the presence of the kingdom of heaven without much spiritual reward. And yet, you hear sermons all the time preached about how unless you're waiting and watching for him, unless you're obtained to this certain place all the time, that when the Lord returns, you're going to be left behind, and therefore you're going to go through tribulation or whatever. And listen, when you're involved in the family of God, when you're birthed into that family, the rapture that some people seem to avoid wholeheartedly is not predicated on somebody's works. The rapture is predicated on the sovereignty or the choosing of God to come and retrieve his church. But if you are not where you're supposed to be spiritually, that does not disqualify you from being a family member. That would be like saying, I'll turn one of my children over to the devil because he never did respond very well anyway, and take my other children and see to it they're taken care of. Human nature doesn't even do that. Human nature will protect its own at all cost, unless you have a spirit that has lost family affection, which the Bible says in the latter days that kind of spirit will be in the church, and we see it a lot. There's not much Christians anymore developing a family affection. They use other excuses, but really, when a church is centered around the Word of God, that should be your choosing factor of anything that you do. Right. And that's the bottom line, because spiritual growth is vitally important. You cannot obtain to being transformed into the image of Christ without the correct doctrine to do so, without the correct information to do so. If you don't have the correct doctrine to kill your outer man and resurrect your inner man, you'll be churched. But it won't disqualify you for being a member of the family of God when he does return for his church. How many of you follow what I'm saying? But in the meantime, God does want us to develop spiritually, because the more you develop spiritually, the more God will use you, the more you'll qualify to be used of the Lord, and you'll be able to accomplish great things, no matter whether you're working in your vocation full-time for the Lord or you're working in a secular position for the Lord. You know, a lot of people look at secular work as not working for the Lord. The Lord wants you to even see your secular work as the opportunity to invest and enhance the kingdom of God. We're talking about Park Rock and the stages that was built. My son was responsible for most of the financing of that, but he not only financed it, but he also went and put his hand to the plow. How do I know? He called me to help him assist to do that. But everything ought to be out of the fact that your involvement or your investment in the kingdom of God should not be out of works. It should be out of the fact that you have a heart for God. And so those that do not really press in to become more spiritual, like in their life, that's a compromise. Because what you're doing is then you're saying, I can have the kingdom of God, but I can also keep myself at the same time. And the Bible, our standard has really lowered itself over the years. And because we're getting more of the Word of God being revealed and opened up into our heart and life, we're becoming more responsible for our actions. And the more responsible we become, then the more challenged we're going to be. You know, and there are a lot of Christians that really are not interested in really being all that on fire for God. And I know I've communicated with a few of them. I've been shocked at some of the things that actually come out of their mouth. I heard one Spirit-filled brother tell me that we need to respect all faiths. No, we don't need to respect all faiths, because there are a lot of faiths out there that are not godly. They're ungodly. And I told him, I says, I'm not going to corroborate with a thief and a liar. And they said, what do you mean, a thief and a liar? I said, there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other way, Jesus said, they're thieves and they're robbers. They come in to destroy the kingdom of God, not enhance it. They give an alternative to Christ. And I'll tell you, I'm against that. I am against that. I think we as believers need to stand firm. Listen, broad is a way to destruction. And many there be that go through that broad way. But God's way is very narrow. It's very specific. Why? There's only one door that we all go through, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Period, over and out. He is our salvation. So when we're talking about literally removing ourselves so that the Spirit of Christ in our hearts can rise up, then we need to realize what we're doing is when we're talking about getting rid of self-image, and we have these points that we've been going over, they are important for us to understand these points. Number one, we have to put on truth. Because all our weaponry hinges off the fact that we know we allow God to speak into our heart to allow God to familiarize us with us. You know, because God knows us more than anybody else. Number two, we need to get an understanding of how our mind is affected by being directly linked to the Word of God. And there's where Romans 8, verse 1 and 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the carnal mind is in rebellion to the kingdom of God. And I've learned that when the truth of God's Word does speak, my carnal mind has a reaction to that thing, and it's not good. It's negative. 99.9% of the time. Only 1% my carnal mind can agree with, providing it's not too deep spiritually. But when you start going deep spiritually, I'll tell you, the carnal mind is more left out. You got a problem. What problem is that? The problem is you don't know where to put your carnal mind once you're delivered from it. And that's a good problem. Now, number four, our self-image must die for His image to be formed in. Do you know, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you? That's in Romans chapter 8 there. You know what's that verse saying? If so be that the life and nature of God has been impregnated in you and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. These Christians that stand up and use wrong terminology bring a confusion to the body of Christ. Because you have some Christians stand up and say, well, God wants a little Christ. You know, God's not looking for little Christ. His Son was enough. God is looking for those that are Christ-like. Amen. Are you following me? Transformed into His nature, His life. Not to be identified with becoming another Christ. See, our terminology needs to be clarified, especially to the unlearned or the unsaved. They think we're being a little arrogant when we say that. Well, we are, because one thing you'll never attain to, and that is absolute deity. Because there's only one, the Godhead is the only one that is absolute deity. Are you following me? But we are His sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. We have His life and His nature, but there are things that are not allowed or given to us, which is understandable, and I enjoy that. I don't like to be the all omniscient one. You know, that's reserved for God. That belongs to Him. But I'll tell you what, when God speaks to my heart and God wants to make change into my life, we have to be open and willing to do that. But your natural mind is not going to like it. It's not going to like it. I mean, when I first started getting revelation knowledge, it was predicated largely on the basis of God showing me something that I had to remove and get out of the way. And that's not all that. How many of you have ever pruned a tree? How many of you take them cloppers? We have this wild patch of thorns and berries that grew around this tree out in our yard, and I go up and I pluck them, and every once in a while I just kind of think, boy, I'm glad I'm not that vine. Foop, you know, you cut it off. Well, can you imagine somebody coming up and taking those pruning things and chopping off one of your fingers? Wouldn't that hurt? I mean, I imagine it hurt. Amen. Well, it's true in the realm of your spiritual growth. Whenever God removes sin in our life, it is not a comfortable thing. It's an uncomfortable thing. Why? Because you're attached to it. And now you have to cut it off. You have to become unattached. And we try to look at all the comfortable ways or the mercy ways or the grace ways to keep a hold of that thing. And just so that we have that love for that thing. And God can't get into our hearts to get us to hate it. You know, God does create hate in our hearts. But it's a good hate. We hate sin as we developed in the Lord. Amen. And I'll tell you, there's some things about me I can't stand. The closer I get with God, the more I hate my natural man. But that's a good thing. But there was a time when I never had a problem with myself. I was enjoying the Lord. I was enjoying ministry. I was enjoying the kingdom of God until I got into fellowship with the Lord. And when I got into fellowship with the Lord, guess what? Butler got set on the chopping block. What you got in your hand there, Lord?
These pruning shears?
Yeah. Well, what's that for?
We're going to lob some things off.
One of the things that I've discovered about myself, you learn it with those that work around you. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was Miss Carol. She said, well, she got frustrated with me one day. She said, well, we can't tell what person's going to show up at work. I think it was her that said that. And that stuck in my memory because that's how people view you. And so I went to pray about that and I said, Lord, you know, you got to do something with Carol. She doesn't realize I'm in charge here. I think it was Carol that said that. We don't know what man's going to show up today. You're probably still having that problem. But anyway. It focused my attention, but on the wrong person. And so when I got over it emotionally, then her words came back more constructively. Because you give yourself time and you get off the emotional edge. And where it does. But here's the thing. It isn't you that brings it back to memory. It's God that brings it back to your memory when you're off the cutting edge of it. And the Lord began to give a revelation. And I'm just going to cop out to you guys today. When it comes to emotionalism, I'm very emotional. And I've learned how to deal with me emotionally. Give it time to get off the cutting edge before you make a decision to do something. And I found that's my greatest asset. Now, it brings others into confusion because they don't know where I'm at. But I'll tell you what, it's better than opening my whole heart and become a fool. Are you following me? And then get everybody not knowing where somebody's at. Are you following what I'm saying? So sometimes I just crawl off and I distance myself from me to give it time before I make any decisions anymore. And people will begin to not fear as much being around you because they know your decisions are more godly centered than emotionally centered. Now, so we're going to talk a little bit about because this emotionalism has to be defined and has to be addressed. And that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes. Because when you realize that when you put your mind into the Word of God, you're putting your failures in proper perspective. But I found something that I never wanted to really face before. But I found that a lot of times my mindset is ordered up because of my negative emotional side to me. I'm talking about negative emotions. There are good emotions, but there are negative emotions. So we're going to center on the negative emotions. Most people don't know how to define whether their emotions are in control or whether they're in control. I found one day in a fight with Sue, I found when God spoke to me and said, shut up, sit down and listen to where she's coming from. I've shared that time and time again with you. So I shut up, I sat down, and when she began to speak, it was almost something rose up in me. It just came, and I can't define it in words. It was like I had a demon in me. And I realized, it finally dawned on me what that was. It was my emotional response to hearing what she was saying. Mm-hmm. Right. And that shocked me. I believe some Christians think when their emotions rise in you like that and you finally catch them, I think the Holy Ghost kept me calm and made me for the first time get an understanding of an emotional response. I never had that before until God got into my heart to shut my mouth and listen to where she was coming from. She's saying, this is how I see it. And I was saying, no, this is how you should see it. Not realize how dumb that is. You know? But I didn't realize there was such an emotional response. Man, it just came up on me just like a demonic power. And I sat there and I stayed calm because the Lord said, shut up and listen. And so she was able to talk to me and that shocked her. Because most of the time we get into a fight, we're yelling at each other. We're at each other's throats. By the way, she's on a blessed vacation. She went back east, though she hadn't left me. She had an opportunity not only going to the women's conference there at Rhema, but also go to see her old family back east in West Virginia and things like that. And she'll be back, I think, the first. Anyway, I listened to her and that prompted me to do a study on emotions. And one of the things that I got was the word emotion comes from the Latin word, which means to move. To move. Something that moves somebody. Our emotions are constantly steering and moving us either towards or away from something. They are what motivates us to deal with our surroundings, whether hostile or friendly. I'm just sharing with you what I've gotten off of research about emotions. They have three basic cycles. Number one, the first cycle is emotions have a tendency to revisit the incident that sparked the emotion to begin with, to revisit us. Number two, we relive that memory in our emotions. Emotions have a tendency to relive things emotionally. And number three, it deals with the conscious mind. It is in the awareness of the power of memory and feeling, so much so that your mind gets so full of an emotional response that you can't even think straight. You just say things out of your mouth, out of emotional response that just come out of your mouth. And if you had time and got off the cutting edge, you wouldn't even allow that to come out of your mouth. So emotions have a tendency to clutter or to fill up the conscious mind with nothingness. It's just an outburst of something. When the term emotionalism is used, the term is, he is an emotional person. That is, one who is controlled by their emotions. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He has no protection. Some have said attitude is 10% and knowledge is 90%. Or 10% is knowledge and 90% is emotion. Your emotions are a major part of your attitude. Without emotions, there is no action. When you have emotions, you have an action. And some people that are emotionally bound have no reaction, but those people, we'll be talking about them in a minute. But I want to deal, how can we tell if our emotions are in control of us? That's what I asked the Lord. How do I know my emotions are in control of me? Have you ever asked the Lord that? Some of you said, no, not really. Well, there's two parts. There is a general view of what emotions will do, and then there's the human potential that involves your emotions. What I mean by the human potential is your reaction with other people. You have what you call a general reaction, then you have what you call human reaction to your life. The first four that I want to talk about, very interesting. Do you try to gain control by emotional outbursts? If so, you're an emotionally controlled person. Number two, did you allow your emotions to swing in automatically? Do they just automatically take over and you respond to that? Do you allow your emotions to do that? Now, I've committed every one of these people, to be honest with you. Number three, are they causing you to lose your ability to think clearly? Are they causing you to lose your ability to think clearly? Number four, do you habitually exaggerate the importance of the present difficulties you're in? Emotionally involved people vindicate or they speak negatively and enhance the problem rather than look for a solution and a way of peace. Because, man, that's the way I was. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea what's going on in the church. You have no idea what everybody's saying. And one day the Lord asked me, who is it? Well, it's everybody. Well, give me a number. Are you referring to all the people in your church? Have you ever went up to them and asked them? How do you know everybody? You know, somebody said, everybody's saying. You know what I mean? I'm giving you an example. Boy, if this keeps up, we've had it. You know, it's really funny. An emotionally controlled person has no basis or no framework for stability in their life because the anointing cannot operate through emotionalism. God's anointing cannot operate through emotionalism. Jesus, he was the calmest man. You know, Mary, we were reading on the Arch Covalians, Mary's testimony was, well, he never showed any emotions one way or the other. He just opened his mouth and one word healed everything. Now, was Jesus an emotional person? Yes, he was, but he was in control of his emotions. When he wanted to be mad, he was mad. When he wanted to be calm, he was calm. Matter of fact, in the most adverse places in our life, when we're in difficulties, Jesus said, or the Bible says that Jesus opened not his mouth in times when he had a whole lot to say. Don't tell me didn't have control of his emotions. He absolutely did. He knew how to turn them to his advantage every time. For he opened not his mouth, but stood dumb before his shearers. And they were saying a whole lot of garbage, people. That trial was the most hinged, blotched thing. I'll tell you, it's amazing how the carnal mind is crazy. You think Washington State Insane Asylum is the only place where disabled people are living? I got news for you. That ain't the only place. Now, the human potential. Do you have feelings that you do not need intimate friends? Some people don't think that they need intimate friends. Do you have fear of others knowing the real you? Have you thought that if they really knew you, they would not like you? See, this is emotionally controlled people with human negativity as far as emotions. Do you pretend to be the kind of person that you think they would really like? Boy, that is a big one for me. See, that's where God has been dealing with me. To be honest, don't lie. Be upfront, because I didn't want people to really know the real me. See, still fight that thing. So what you do is you tell lies. You tell stories. Why? Because you don't want people to really know the real truth. Aren't we all happy? Well, that's it. I'm not called to this church. It's time I leave. Do you pretend to be the kind of person that you think they would really like? Are you excited to be around the people that you know, or do you just put up with them? Hello? When you're around people, do you get stressed out and uptight? Some people do all the time. They get around a bunch of people, they get stressed and uptight. Is taking the first step with people impossible for you? Or do you wait for them? And if no one does respond, do you cop an attitude? These are the signs of emotional control over your life. This is where you're allowing emotions to control you. You see, people can read you without you saying anything. People with emotional problems always wear them on their person. In the eyes of the majority of people, people respond to your body language more than it comes out of your mouth. I have misjudged many people because I got into this thing about judging them according to their body language. And that's very dangerous because you can read people wrong. In the eyes of the majority of the people, people respond to your body language. Leaders, our leaders, I made a determination this year that our leadership is going to change in their body language, and even if they're taking care of our children, they're going to change in their body language. They're going to change there because that's where you communicate with a lot of people you have no relationship with. Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus saw. Jesus, knowing their thoughts. Jesus perceived in His spirit. See, the way you feel is clear to others, whether you need them or not, by your body language. Then on the other hand, people try to manipulate others with their body language to cover up what's inside. To cover up what's inside. Now, how do I take charge over my emotions? Now that I brought all that negativity. How do I take charge? So you might want to write these down, something that might be important to you. Is if we're going to talk about emotions and be emotionally controlled, what can I do to do or deal with my emotions? That's what I'm working on right now. 6 months ago, I was in one state, and I'm not there now. But I gave myself what you call annihilation. An isolation. I gave myself an isolation from things so that I could get over myself emotionally and then respond accordingly. Number one, be aware of how you communicate. You know, sometimes because people can control you by their emotions, you'll say things you don't even mean. Because you're controlled by people. But listen, be aware. Number one, be aware how you communicate. Because I've said things to people that I didn't want to say to them just because I was intimidated by their personality, their strengths. Are you following me? In verse of my weaknesses. So I found sometimes if I'm aware of how I communicate, I'm better off not to say anything. Just to be quiet. Because I know that I'm being intimidated, so just be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't try not to give me. Now, some people will force that answer, but then you, and if you try to then speak through that, you're going to get yourself into a worse mess. What you do is just shut down. Shut up. Don't say nothing. Now, do you communicate through outbursts of anger or stuffing your feelings? One makes you a fool and another makes you a hypocrite. People that have a tendency to be introverted are more hypocrisy than anything else because they never say what they really mean to you. One makes you a fool. It says, he that utters his whole heart is a fool. It's talking about a man who is controlled by anger or outbursts of rage. And the other one, Proverbs is very clear that when one becomes introverted, now it doesn't use the word introverted, but one who retains within himself, it says literally, he has a tendency to hypocrisy. He's not really communicating clearly to people that are around him. And so you have to be aware how you communicate. You need to be honest. Quit hiding under excuses and covering things up, especially your feelings about things. Do not rationalize your actions. Purpose to encourage people. That'll help you a lot. Be encouraging to others right in the midst of their need of anger or anger. Lift others up around you. Spread an atmosphere of joy around them. Be happy in your appearance and your body language, which speaks volumes. Be a giver, not a taker. Emotionally controlled people don't know how to give. They only know how to take. Don't always want things your way. Give a little. I'm not talking about compromising with the Word of God. I'm talking about compromising with situations that you know will just make it worse if you fight it. Be willing to give in. Let others choose as well. Don't worry about what others taking advantage of you. That's not the case at all. Give love in place of wrath. Anger gives time to others. When you're angry, you're giving time to others in that. We don't realize that. We're investing that anger into their life. Point number two, be a listener. Listen to others. Hear them. Hear them. Quit thinking you're the only one who hears from God. Some people think they're the only ones that hear from God. Your ability to hear makes you a good communicator. That's why Jesus says the Holy Ghost ain't going to speak, but only what he hears. That means the Holy Ghost is a good listener. If you're a good listener, you're a good communicator. Change your body language. Remember, your actions speak louder to some people than your words. Purpose to change your body language. God told me it's as much sin as habits of the flesh. When you walk into a room, do you walk into a room? Hi. Or do you walk into a room commanding attention? How are you? People respond better with good body language. Boy, I'll tell you what, some people, they wear their language on their outer man quite easily. Point number four, change your negative reactions. The soul is very influenceable. Learn to guard it. Learn to develop leadership in yourself. Quit being a follower all the time of everything. Point number five, don't let others contaminate you with their mood swings or negative emotion. Some people are so easily infected. Be at peace around irritated, angry people. Learn to be at peace. Controlling people. Some people that have a controlling personality about them, most of the time they don't even know it, they will control your life. Don't be easily influenced by that. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Which brings up the next one. Begin paying attention to how you feel, especially around different people. Pay attention to it. Negative information is gossip spread by emotionally uncontrolled people. Or emotionally controlled people. Gossip is spread by emotionally controlled people. And gossip is what you call negative information. How do I know that? Me. I was sitting there complaining about somebody else, and I'm doing the very thing that I was complaining to them about. Become aware of and label your emotional responses. By observing how you feel, interacting with various types of people will develop discernment in you. Some of the most emotionally controlled people on planet Earth that I've met are always the ones that come up to me and tell me they have the spirit of discernment. Examine your emotional responses and you will begin to see clearly how others in their emotions spread to you. It is your own? Is it your own emotions? Or did it come from someone else? And so these are things that you need to focus in on if you want to get control of your emotions in life. They're very important. Some people don't know how to get control of their emotions, so they change their environment. They change things in their thinking. And that ain't going to help you at all. It ain't going to help you at all. Other people can't be responsible for your emotional reaction. You have to be. Now, in closing, I want to cover some scripture. Let's go over to 1 John. Very powerful book. And ask the Lord, how can you pinpoint a person who is emotionally controlled? He says, well, it's all through the Word of God. I hadn't realized it in the terms that are used. One place that he took me was in 1 John, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now notice that he remains in the light because what? Because he's never offended. Occasion of stumbling means he's not given to offenses. What an offensible person is one who is controlled by their emotions. The thing that scared me is that when I began to pay attention to my emotional reaction, it brought me to my words that were coming out of my own mouth, and I was double-tongued about things. So much so now that I can sit and a person will pour his heart out to me and yet turn around and say something totally the opposite. He's double-tongued, doesn't even see it. And I didn't see it within myself until I started paying attention to my emotional responses with people. And then it tuned me in what I was saying out of my mouth on one side and meant something else on the other side of my mouth. It's crazy. Fruit is what fruit is. It didn't say that an apple tree would bear a pear and give an excuse why. The tree is what the fruit is. Isn't that true? So here he says he has none occasion of stumbling in him. In other words, the word stumbling here is really the word offense, scandalon. He's not offended. Why? Because this man can be at peace with people. See, you got to learn to go there. I've had people, they're just like a cat. You startle a cat and he clings to the ceiling with all four claws, you know, or four paws. And then they turn around and said, well, you didn't startle me. My wife, she has an uncanny ability to nail me in my emotional responses. And, ooh, it makes me so mad. She'll say something to me, and I'll say, so? What's that all about? Are you implying something to me? Oh, no. Did you guys get something here today? Praise God. So, helping to get rid of ourselves, as long as we're in this unseemly... I look at our emotions like a barrier. And if we can get through this, then everything else begins to form and shape itself. You know. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. It works on every one of us. And Father, none of us are exempt for what your Spirit brings forth. None of us are exempt, including me. So Father, I pray that the things that you not only shared with me, but I've shared with your people, that all of us together begin to work on them in such a way that we're free. Father, I know that the area of emotions will either free us or bind us. We want to be free, Father. And so, Father, may we work on these things that will help us to understand the emotional side of our life and to steer our emotions in the right direction in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to close our service, but before we do, we want to open the door for those that want to receive Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you how you save people and set them free. And this morning, if there be anybody here that has never confessed the sinner's prayer, never reached out and said, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. It doesn't come by thinking good things or doing good works. It comes by surrendering our life to Him. Openly receiving Him and openly knowing that we must receive a new life through Him. And that is by denying the old life to resurrect a new one. And Father, You said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is one who's willing to become as a little child. And so today, this morning, if there be anybody here that would like salvation, we're going to give a call for you to come up. When the service is dismissed, we want you to come forward and receive Jesus. If you're a believer here and you've been backslid, you've been hurt, you've been scarred, you're emotionally disrupted, and you want to come back into perfect fellowship, then we want to give you the opportunity to do that. In the presence of Jesus, to restore your walk with Him, your fellowship with Him. And then if you would like to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, where we lay hands on you and you receive the evidence of the baptism through speaking in the heavenly language, we want to see to it that that is done. And then if you're here for physical healing, we want to pray for those that are sick in Jesus' name. So with that, the rest of you, if you're here for the first time and you've never been up to a hospitality room, I want to encourage you to go out by the coffee bar and we'll have somebody direct you to a hospitality room. This is where we have some things we want to share with you and communicate with you, give you a chance to ask questions about the service. Or if you've been visiting and looking for a church and haven't quite made a decision and you feel that you're ready, this would be good for you. So, with that, the rest of you are dismissed. Those that I've called out for the altar, feel free to come forward. The rest of you are dismissed. God bless you. Hallelujah.